Welcome to Words on Water. I'm Christy Murphy. The focus of our conversation today is artificial intelligence and the valuable information it provides to the wastewater industry. Our guests are data scientists Katie Tahir and Shervin Kazali with Trinex.
My first question is, Shervin, you're the data guy, right? The statistics guy.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your role and what you do.
Okay, so basically, hello everyone, I'm Shervin. My role at the company is a data scientist. So on a daily basis, I'm working with data from data cleaning, data modeling, and providing some reports. So basically everything that I do is related to the data that we have for different projects.
And Katie, what about you?
Yeah, so I work with folks like Shervin who get like really into the weeds and the methodology and the code and the statistics. And I try to help shape the strategy and the direction and, you know, path by which we bring that to our clients. So helping the expertise from folks like Shervin, you know, really hit the mark with our clients' needs and solving their challenges, you know, on a daily basis.
So you use the word a lot, artificial intelligence.
Absolutely.
And the general public probably thinks like something when it comes to, Katie, what about you?
Yeah, so I work with folks like Shervin who get like really into the weeds and the methodology and the code and the statistics. And I try to help shape the strategy and the direction and, you know, path by which we bring that to our clients. So helping the expertise from folks like Shervin, you know, really hit the mark with our clients' needs and solving their challenges, you know, on a daily basis.
AI does a lot, and you prefer a different name when you're describing AI.
Sure. So AI is kind of an all-encompassing term. So it's nice to get specific about what kind of AI we're talking about. Like you mentioned, robotics and, you know, like artificial intelligence that you see in the movies isn't really the kind of AI that we are working with. Mostly what we're doing is predictive modeling and specifically machine learning. So, you know, predictive modeling is using data to make inferences about something that is unknown. And machine learning is a specific type of predictive modeling that uses a training set and a testing set to, you know, teach the model to learn from data, and then a testing set to evaluate the data and the model's performance, you know, in predicting what it is blind to, but what we actually know in that test set so we can see how well it does. And so that's just a kind of a specific way to think about machine learning. You have a training set of data and a testing set.
Well, when you're talking about predictive data, what are you specifically testing for, trying to gain knowledge about when it comes to wastewater?
Shervin and I are working closely on a project where we're detecting anomalies in sewer flow data. So we can talk a little bit about that. It's essentially to help wastewater agencies, you know, understand and respond to potential issues in their sewer system more quickly and efficiently and reliably. Another area that Trinex is working on is wastewater-based epidemiology, so detecting pathogens in the sewer system. There's just a wealth of information in the, you know, in the sewer, water flowing through the sewer that we can harness to protect our communities and get a heads up of, you know, emerging contaminants in our areas.
So basically pathogens that show
right.
up in the water and how you can actually build a predictive model from that
totally.
Information.
Absolutely.
So Shervin, let's talk about these pathogens and what you're trying to do to provide this information to facilities. Of course, a lot of people think about COVID because people were so surprised that you can actually test, you know, wastewater to find out about outbreaks of COVID. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, okay. From the data scientist perspective, okay, so what we work with is data, right? So the data always have different patterns, right? These patterns can change over time because of different factors. One of these factors can be these pathogens or other kind of environmental effects, let's say, right? So the goal here is to train machine learning models that recognize these patterns. And then when the patterns start to change, it can associate these changes of patterns to different problems such as pathogen. And this is an example of what we call anomaly detection, because anomaly is nothing more than sudden changes in the patterns over time. So imagine a scenario that when we have like rainfalls, so we have these overflows and inside our pipelines, right? So we want to capture these kind of effects. On the other side, as Katie mentioned, is a CAS product, right? So basically what we want to do, we want to capture all of this data. We want to collect this data. The second phase, what we want to do, we want to make some assessment to analyze this data, to clean the data, to see whether this data is good enough for the next step, which is simulation. And this simulation can be traditional simulation, or it can be AI related or machine learning models. And once we have these simulations, we can basically go to the next step, which is predictive models, and use these predictions to predict our objectives. And based on the results that we have, we can take action. We can make decisions about different aspects of the objectives that we have towards that particular product. Yeah.
Does that mean key indicators? Is that another word to describe the computer models and the information you get?
Yeah, I would say so, right, Sherbin? Yeah, I think, yeah. Especially on Precipicast, we are trying to understand the impact of big storm events on the sewer system so that we can be more resilient next time. And so absolutely key performance indicators come out of that. We can compare them, you know, from event to event and just make sure that we're prepared as a community so that, as Sherbin talked about, overflows, you know, are minimized and we have a plan for those, especially if there's a trend, like Sherbin said, climate change is so complex. If we're able to analyze the recurrence of events and the change in intensity, duration, and frequency of rainfall events over time, it can help us essentially just be more prepared to protect our communities from the, you know, public health impacts of, for example, combined sewer overflows.
Exactly. And just to complete this conversation about the key indicators, actually, you know, we have to look at it as like a human disease, right? So when there is a disease, there are some symptoms, right? And by getting tests, like blood tests, different kind of tests, you can associate those symptoms to the cause of the disease, right? So the same thing goes with the data. Once something is happening, you can see the symptoms, you can see the effects on the data that you collect from the system. And the AI here is responsible for finding those symptoms because it creates a new pattern inside the data. So this pattern can be in a time series data, like it means that the data is gathered over time and time is an important factor, or it can be like inventory data, that the data that we gather, we collect from, let's say, a city related to the demographic data, census data, so on and so forth.
What do wastewater resource facilities say about this information? How do they react to the services that you could provide? Katie, you want to take that?
Sure. Yeah. So definitely some feedback that we get is that like sort of a refreshing, you know, pleasantly surprised at the accessibility of information and the power of information at your fingertips. And the kind of common theme that, you know, we see, I think it's not just limited to water, wastewater industry. I think it's across the board with professionals. Is that we are, you know, constantly experiencing information overload and decision fatigue. So the feedback that we get is that anything we can do to provide help in decision making and, you know, take the sort of stress out of the decision making process because one is able to think more clearly and see more clearly what's going on. It's just greatly appreciated. It improves people's quality of life.
Katie, I'm wondering, what's in the future when it comes to testing, casting for wastewater? And are there new services, new models, and more that you can offer facilities?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think... just on like a broad level, I think the trend in the future is that we're certainly not going to see artificial intelligence, you know, replacing human intelligence. That's just never going to happen, especially in this industry. But we're going to continue to find opportunities like in the space of sensor anomaly detection, where we help humans with expertise and knowledge of the system make smarter decisions and be alerted of and respond to operational problems faster and more efficiently. So I think that's just the general trend of where we're going with AI in this industry. And whether it's, you know, emerging contaminants or detecting anomalies in sewer flow, certainly there are opportunities in the plants themselves, optimizing chemicals, optimizing processes, which, you know, requires, it just drives home the point of AI is not replacing humans. You cannot implement an AI process in a complex process such as that's taking place in a wastewater treatment plant without the knowledge of the human to help implement, test, monitor, you know, feed the right inputs. This is one striking example of where you really need the industry expertise to complement the AI model.
Yeah, most of the time when we're talking about artificial intelligence, think of a Terminator, the movie, right? The robot's coming and the end of the world's going to come. But yeah. That's not the fact right now, especially in this industry. Because the idea of using artificial intelligence is to help human to make better and faster decisions, right? However, there is very nice trend is happening in the AI community. And that's it. Before, we had questions and we wanted to find answers, right? So we started to do the simulations and then use the data, so on and so forth. With the fast growing AI technologies, what's going to happen is that we're going to have the answers. We don't know the questions. So at some point, I think for the water industry, we need to think about the questions that we want to answer, because at some point, this AI technology is going to get to the point that it can provide different types of answers. What we need to do is to find the right question for it. So I think this is like a paradigm shift in terms of critical thinking about solving a problem.
Words on water.